Today, as we approach the scripture, I would just note that we will be ordaining and installing our new officers today, and so it is the time of year when we will be reflecting on leadership. The next four sermons will be a series on biblical leadership, and in particular, biblical leadership has a different spin than you might hear other places. Quite often, it's through people's failures that you come to see the hand of God working and the message that God has to speak to us. So we'll be hearing about Moses and Samson, Saul and Solomon over the next few weeks and reflecting on their experiences in leadership. Today we come to Exodus. We hear selections from chapter 4, which is the call of Moses. And then we will go on to chapter 18, which is after the people have left Egypt and are beginning their wilderness wanderings. Listen for the word of the Lord from Exodus chapter 4. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past or even now that you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." Continuing to chapter 18. Moses' father-in-law comes out to greet them in the midst of their wanderings after they have been liberated from Egypt. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them the statutes and instructions, and make known to them the way they are to go and the things they are to do. You should also look for able people among all the people, people who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain. Set such people over them as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case among themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God commands you, God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their homecoming in peace." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story of Moses and the liberation of the people of God from Egypt is one of the most important foundational stories for Jewish and Christian faith. But it doesn't stop there. Its impact on the history around the globe cannot be underestimated, especially in American history. Sometimes people like to pretend our country was all secular, but this story shaped the American story. It's a rallying cry in the American Revolution, and it was a rallying cry in the Civil Rights Movement. And that's a good thing to remember on this Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend when we celebrate his birth. But this story of Moses still shapes the church today, as we claim it as our story. Remember, Moses was on the lam. He had seen an Egyptian official beating a man, and when it says beating a man, you're assuming it's beating a man to death. No one else would step forward, no one would stop it. So Moses looked around and saw if no one else was doing it, so he stepped in, and he ended up killing the official who was doing the beating. And then Moses did the smart thing. He ran. He ran a long, long way, all the way to Midian, this wilderness place, and he said, no one is going to look for me here. So he's hiding. While he's hiding, he met a girl, and the two of them fell in love. They got married, and then Moses found a job in her father's business. He ran sheep out on the range. What do you call those folks who see over sheep? Is a sheep cowboy, okay? A nice, quiet life out on the sheep cowboy range. And everything's in control, all right? He's in control, even though long distant away there's trouble. Here, he's in control. He's got it in hand. Then something catches his eye way up on the mountain. Something's on fire way up there. It's not a forest fire because there are no forests there. It's not a grass fire because there isn't enough grass in that part of the world to have a grass fire. But something's up there. And something's on fire. Something's burning. And Moses was curious. Moses left the sheep, climbed up over the boulders all the way up, climbed and climbed to see what was burning, and when he got up there finally, when he arrived, he found out what was burning. What was burning was God, in the form of a burning bush, but it was God that was on fire because God was angry. He'd seen all his people being beaten and killed in the street, and it made God angry. God was tired of the killing, and he says to Moses, these beatings have to stop. The killing has to stop, and I am sending you. My people are like sheep without a shepherd, and you are a shepherd with courage. I'm sending you. You will lead my flock. And Moses, we know what Moses is supposed to say, right? We know when God calls that you're supposed to say, here I am, Lord. I have heard you, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. Yeah, Moses doesn't sing that song. He says, God, you've got the wrong man. In fact, he says it 7 times. God, find somebody else. Couldn't we have some diversity? Maybe someone else needs to take the job. Isn't there a woman who could do this? Isn't there somebody who's taken their Myers-Briggs or their Enneagram or their StrengthsFinders who has the natural proclivities in these areas? Please, God, anybody. 7 times, Moses tells God he doesn't want to do it, and God is relentless. He says, Moses, I am calling you. But Moses had to change. Moses, who'd been so in control, just barely holding things together. And then this inscrutable God, for whatever inscrutable reasons, calls to him and calls him to go back to the scene of his crime. Moses has to set aside his control and let the Spirit of God have some control. And when he does, when he finally says, yes, Lord, here I am, and he goes along with God's call, he discovers just how right God was. That he, Moses, had the ability, as God taught him, he had the ability, after 400 years of beatings and killings and degradation and forced labor, after 400 years of slavery, Moses discovered, when God led him and taught him, that he, Moses, had the power to set all those people free. What a story. God trusts him, God teaches him, and God does it through him. Stop and think. Stop and wonder. Feel what it must have felt like to Moses to set all those thousands and thousands of people free. If you were Moses, you answered the call, how it would feel to set all those people free and to see the beatings and the murders and the degradation is going to stop because of you. Because you said, here I am, Lord, send me. It only happens because Moses gives God some control in his life. Well, fast forward from that calling of Moses to now they have they've gone through the story of past his pleas to Pharaoh, past all the plagues, the plague of frogs, the plague of flies, the plague of stank, the plague of hail, and after the hail, we don't hear about a flood of insurance agents, but I know it's there somewhere. Sorry, Scott. But after they've gone through the Red Sea and all of these things, they're wandering in the wilderness, and then all of these people who have spent their whole existence as slaves and they've known nothing but slavery for 400 years, now they have to learn to live in freedom together, and there's all these squabbles. They bicker, they gossip, they get angry at each other. They step on one another's toes. They steal one another's stuff. They have problems with their marriages, and fights break out among people who used to be friends, but now it's just chaos. And Moses has to sit and listen to every little problem. Moses was doing it all. All this bickering, and as long as the bickering is going on, the people of God can go nowhere. So Moses' father-in-law, who through the communication channels of oasis to oasis, as word would come along out in the wilderness, the word finally gets to Moses' father-in-law in Midian what has happened, and he journeys all the way to where they are to tell his son-in-law congratulations. He tells him congratulations, he's enthusiastic for what has happened, but then he takes a look at what's going on. And we know how father-in-laws are supposed to be. Father-in-laws are supposed to come and smile and be seen and not heard. They're supposed to mostly sit in the overstuffed chair and cheer for the Patriots, right? But he comes, and after his support, he looks around at what's going on, and then he looks at Moses and he says, Mo? They're on good terms like that. Mo, this isn't good. Now that's support, isn't it? Don't you want to hear that from your father-in-law? Yeah, what you're doing, this is not good. It may not feel supportive, but the truth is, it's a form of love, and it's a form of wisdom being shared. Moses, he seems to say, Moses, remember how you started out saying, let my people go. Well, now you've got to say, let my schedule go, because otherwise you'll never reach the promised land. Moses, he says, you've got to get out of control again, but in a new way. You need a division of responsibilities. You need to share power. You've got to delegate, get organized. Thus saith the Lord, you've got to form committees. Jethro sounds like a Presbyterian there. And it's only when Moses stops being in control, shares power, and lets other people take control that Moses discovers what his true calling is. I want to talk about that in a moment. But you see, in this story, what you have is the beginning of a community that is forming together as a fabric. It's not one person who does it all. It's only because the power is shared and everybody comes together to do their part. Moses could only do his thing if all the people were organized and they could do their thing on all of those committees. The story of how God's people finally stopped being slaves was they got organized. Organized to work together, to live together, and to find how they can move forward together with each person doing their part. Today, we will be welcoming in a new set of elders to join the session, and I want to give a special thank you to the session who have served in the past 3 years. And in this last year, especially, I want to say thank you to the session, because we have had some long conversations this last year. this last year about where we go next, where we go from here. And I have been blessed by those discussions. One of the things that they've said to me is, as Jethro said to Moses, Andy, you need to let some things go. You need to let some other people do things, and you do your main thing. And that's been such a blessing to me, the wisdom of the session as they've come together and we've discerned together where we are headed. So I'll be doing more teaching and more focus on preaching and visioning, and I can only do that because the session has decided to step forward and to claim their roles in ways where they will emphasize their leadership. That is the story of the people of God, our story, the continuing ways where we continue to listen to one another and move forward together. I want to say thank you also to the deacons who in this last year have had some great conversations about where they would like to head as they work with their caregiving ministry. The deacons have decided to organize themselves and to step forward in some ways where they're claiming their role in some new ways, and I am excited about them moving forward in their loving ministry and all the lives that they touch with folks who are out there who can't get out of their homes or who are not able to be with us here because of impairments in different ways. The deacons do so much love and caretaking that it just makes me stand in awe. The session's divided in 15 different committees, and each one has a task. It's like God through Jethro talking to Moses saying a committee is a good thing. And through our committees, we shape the lives of children. We shape the faithful imagination of children, hopefully for the rest of their lives. But we only do that because people step forward and say, here I am, Lord, send me. We do an incredible amount of mission around here in various ways, and we only do that because somebody hears the call of God and they say, here I am, and they step forward. Time after time after time, it matters that we have folks who hear that call of God and step forward and say, I'm going to do my part, and God's called me to lead. I love the culture of this congregation. The culture of this congregation is one where in a great many times the pastor or the pastor in the session come up with some sort of vision, and then some committee or some individual steps forward and says, I hear the vision, I see the vision, and before we've turned around, they already have it 90% completed because we have strong leaders here and we have people that are willing to take the reins and move forward. We're a church that is motivated to make sure that we're doing our part in the vision of God's faithful people. What are our next steps? I don't know exactly. The session will be meeting at a retreat this next weekend at Lead Lodge. I don't know exactly where we're going, but my hunch is in our conversations, we will continue to seek to find ways to strengthen our worship, to strengthen our Christian education, to make sure that we create a warm Christian community that is deeply involved in the mission inside the church and outside the church. And my hunch is we'll also have some conversation about how we, as Presbyterians, need to stop being quite so shy and become more willing to invite other people to join with us on this faith journey. I think the call of every member is to invite one person to come and check out the life of this church every year. We have this special community, and I can't do all the inviting. That's not my place. It's yours. It's yours to share the joy and the love of this marvelous community, and it only works as every member reaches out and brings someone in. We need to inspire that kind of love that when someone does walk through the door, they know that they are noticed here and that they are welcome, whoever they are, that they are welcome here, and we are glad to have them be part of this community. The story of Moses is fascinating. He wants to not get involved at all, but he goes from saying no 7 times to finally saying yes and then discovering the power of God working through that yes. And he goes on to become a leader who, after 400 years, sets his people free. God said he would teach him, and God does teach him. Faith is, I think, about on-the-job training as long as we keep on listening to this living God. And God taught him through all of those experiences. It was only after they started forming committees that Moses was set free. You remember, it was only after they started forming the committees that Moses was set free to say, well, what do I need to be doing? And it was at that point that Moses went up on the mountain again, and that's when he received the Ten Commandments that have guided the people of faith ever since. Only because all of those other people said yes was Moses set free to change the world. So every time we see this story, we can see for each of us, it's time for us to claim God wants to teach us, to have us mature in our faith. If the nominating committee calls, don't hear the nominating committee. Just hear the voice of God, okay? And if someone invites you to join the church, don't see them as having you join a bureaucracy. See them as inviting you to come be part of the journey of the people of God into the promised land. Westminster is a group of mature people that can handle complex and controversial issues and make a difference in the world. We are in a time of challenge for the mainline Christian church in America. We are now the 119th largest Presbyterian church in the country. Other churches are looking to us for leadership, and it's our time to step forward and to show what we can do as people of faith together. We do that as we continue to listen to God, as God calls to us and we respond, when we hear the voice of God calling, when we are finally ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am." Amen.